Hi, Pat Thompson. I'm president of La Dolce Vita Wine Tours. We invite you to our website at dolcetours.com.
You're listening to iWine Radio. My name is Lynn Crelo Chamberlain, host. Today on Wine and Dine, we're going to give you some fantastic ideas for trips. I'm telling you, I'd go with them in a heartbeat if I could, because one of my favorite places I've ever been to is the Alps on the Italian side. But anyway, it's been years and years and years since we had the pleasure of talking to Pat Thompson of La Dolce Vita Wine Tours. They're based out of Brooklyn, New York. And their latest press release that they sent out headlines, Rioja book giveaway, Ken Loach talks about the Angel Share. And let me give you some additional summary here. There are 17 tours running so far in 2013, which means there might be an additional ones added later in the year, including private custom tours. 9 are joinable tours. We will have a link up to the dolcetours.com/calendar page. So there are 3 types of tours that they offer: wine, wine with walking, and wine intensive. They have a tour going right now to plan for Douro in Portugal. They have one in the Dolomites Alps, and one that is Land of Barolo, which includes medieval festival and truffle market and Tuscan wine treasures. Now, Pat Thompson, who's joining us today on Wine and Dine, recently wrote a review in The Wine Enthusiast after an interview she did with a British film director, Ken Loach, about a movie called The Angel Share, which is now available in the United States to see. It's a whiskey heist comedy set in the Scottish Highlands, and I absolutely would love to see that. And so, Pat, let me ask you, as we were talking before we start recording, and I know that, of course, the focus here is on La Dolce Vita Wine Tours, but you wear another hat in life, and that is you interview cinematographers and write articles about what they do.
That's correct. Hi, Lynn. I started my career, well, actually I've had many careers, as many of us Americans have, but I worked as a film editor for a now-defunct film magazine called The Independent, and I still write about film for American Cinematographer. So, yes, I'm spinning many plates, one of which is as the East Coast correspondent for American Cinematographer. Now, the story I did about Ken Loach's Angel Share was not for them, actually. I saw the film in a press preview here in New York, loved it, and I thought, this has got to be seen by whiskey fans.
Yes.
And so I pitched it to Wine Enthusiast, and it is on their on winemag.com, which is their website, because Ken Loach is not so well known in America. He is really one of the preeminent British directors, but I thought for sure that people in the whiskey world may not know him, but they really should be going to this film because it just is such a delightful peer into the world of Scotch whiskey.
I asked my husband to check it out and see if it's available online for us to watch, because where I live in Newbern, North Carolina, I'm sure it's not going to be coming to a cinema. Just the picture alone with what you have in your newsletter makes me want to watch the film.
Right, right. Well, it is a niche film. It's being released by IFC Films, so it'll get what's called a platform release around the States. I'm sure it won't be online for a while. They'll have it'll be in theaters for a while. They, you know, want to make their money that way and get the reviews.
Okay.
And then eventually, hopefully, it'll be available through Netflix or what have you.
Okay.
But, Ken Loach is a director who started out in the 60s. He's now 77, so he's sort of in the generation of Mike Lee. He's known for his social realist films, which sounds like drudgery, but they're not at all. But he really made his mark in the 1990s with films like, just to name a few, Hidden Agenda, Riff Raff, Ladybird, Ladybird, My Name is Joe, and probably the best known in the States was one called The Wind That Shakes the Barley, which was about two brothers who were torn apart by an anti-British rebellion in Ireland.
Wow.
Many of these are dealing with working-class people, and they're very grounded in social realism. So you don't normally think about Ken Loach's doing comedy. But Angel Share, which did win a jury prize at Cannes last year, is pretty much as close as we come to a comedy with Ken Loach. It's very joyful and positive and a feel-good film about a victimless crime.
Oh, I like that. Oh, I can't wait to see it. I mean, I'm just chomping at the bit to see that. And I didn't really used to enjoy Scotch that much, but I do enjoy Scotch now. Very much. It's I think it's an acquired taste if you didn't grow up with it.
Well, I started out drinking Scotch, but then as soon as I discovered wine, I drifted. And so I actually don't know that much about Scotch. And when I talked to Ken Loach, I asked him if he did and if that was one reason he wanted to do this film.
Yeah.
And it turns out that he himself is not that much of a Scotch drinker. But his screenwriter, with whom he's worked forever, is from Scotland, Paul Laverty, and apparently he wanted to do something that somehow dealt with one of the, let's say, cliches or the a basis for the tourism industry in Scotland.
Yes.
And that, of course, is Scotch.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's also the kilts and the shortbread, the
kippers,
you know, all those kinds of things that one associates with Scotland. And so this idea of Scotch was springboard. But at the same time, it's very much wed with Ken Loach's interest in the working class people and their struggles. Struggles is such a cliched word. I hate to use that because it sounds so deadbeat. But
I mean, that's what people are doing now. So many people are struggling now in this economy.
That's true.
It's very timely.
And in fact, the way this film starts, it's brilliant. It's so brilliant. I love this film. It starts out in a courtroom with one person after the other being sentenced for some kind of petty crime, for shoplifting, or in the case of our hero in the film, Robbie, he's sentenced to 300 hours of community payback for getting into a very bloody and unnecessary street fight.
Okay.
All right. So in the courtroom, we see the kinds of people who are getting thrown into the system for crimes that usually just have to do with people kind of trying to make their way. And then in the scenes that follow, again, very sort of typical Ken Loachian drama, you see how this character is kind of straitjacketed by, you know, tough economic times in Belfast. He just can't get a job. But meanwhile, he's got a kid on the way. Meanwhile, he's trapped in this sort of personal feud that goes back to his father and a feud that his father had. And it's not a pretty situation. But then his community supervisor, the community service supervisor, who happens to be a Scotch fan, on one day off, he takes Robbie and the bunch of people who are working for him up to the distillery just for a day of pleasure. And there, Robbie discovers that he has a very good nose for Scotch.
Oh, wow.
And so then he starts learning. Now, these lower-class people don't drink Scotch in Scotland. They drink something else. They drink, you know, basically a fortified wine, I guess.
Okay.
That's called, what is it called? Bucky's, which is named after Buckfast, which is an abbey in Devon where the monks first made this wine.
Wow.
But apparently now it's a sort of paper bag treat that, you know, that you drink out of, you know, whatever. It gets you there faster.
Okay.
So that's what these guys drink. So when Robbie goes up to the distillery, he's sniffing, drinking, tasting Scotch for the very first time.
Wow.
And he discovers he likes it and he has a good nose for it. So then he wants to learn more. And along the way, he discovers that there is a very rare cask of the last cask of this now defunct distillery that is going up for auction. Priceless.
Oh, boy.
And so he and his friends decide they want to steal some of this. A victimless crime. And then, you know, meanwhile, he's also trying to get work. But this is his last crime. And so then the film takes a turn. turn and becomes a heist film.
Okay.
And the four of them dress up in kilts. They go up to the auction in disguise as a whiskey club.
Oh, that's a riot.
Can we take your picture? Can we get an autograph, he says to the head of the distillery, and so on. And they work their way in that way.
Okay.
And so it becomes, again, it's a heist film. It's a light comedy. At the same time, it's very much grounded in the lives of these working class people who are just trying to make a living. But along the way, you go to the distilleries. You go on a tour, you know, the typical tour of a distillery. You go into the tasting rooms. And there is, in fact, a real-life whiskey writer who doesn't play himself. He has a stage name here, who conducts the tastings, and you're hearing all the descriptors about the scotch, and it makes you want to just drink it right then and there.
Yes.
And then, of course, you go into the auction, and that whole fervor of scotch auction. And so it's a really delightful dip into this whole world.
Wow. Everybody listening is probably just dying to watch the film. Well, Pat, we're going to go to a short break here. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Pat Thompson of La Dolce Vita Wine Tours. And there are several things that you can sign up for in May and June tours and a tour in September and more. We'll give you more details when we come back. You're listening to Wine and Dine.
Hi, I'm Emilia Taragni. I'm the editor of The Silver Spoon. We have just released a new edition with over 2,000 recipes, 400 new photographs, and 1,500 pages. I hope you will enjoy it.
Hello, everyone. My name is Gaia Gaia from Gaia Winery in Italy, and I'm on Wine and Dine Radio.
Hi, I'm Antonio Rallo, Donna Fugata from Sicily.
You're listening to iWine Radio. You know, what sounds really cool is to go to Discovery in Sicily, which you can do June 17th through the 22nd. It's also available in October 14th through the 19th and September 15th to the 21st. I've never been to Sicily, even though I've interviewed a couple people from Sicily. Pat Thompson's joining us. Again, we're continuing our conversation. And Pat, so when we first talked, and it had to be like, I don't know, 9-10 years ago. It was a long time ago when I first talked to you and your husband.
Probably.
And but you've added other trips outside of Italy. The focus was always Italy, and the focus still is Italy. But
correct.
So how did you get this idea to be going to, like, the Douro Valley?
Well, you're right. I think we added the Rioja tour. We have a tour in Ribera del Duero and Rioja, which was added in 2007, and the Douro Valley, I don't remember, a couple of years after that. And the reason we did that, first of all, let me explain that. We focus on Italy because my husband is Italian from Piedmont, and our idea was to focus on Italy from pretty much the Alps to Sicily, and we do so. But we actually kept getting repeat clients, which was great for us. But after a point, some of our clients had done really
everything.
All our tours or covered the regions.
Right.
And so Claudia was always like, oh, we can do Puglia, we can do Umbria. I mean, there's so many places in Italy that are unique and wonderful and different. That's
yes.
The great thing about it is Italy is all 20 regions are like completely different countries. But as an American, I know that Americans don't necessarily want to go to all 20 regions of Italy. They may want to go to different countries. So I thought, you know, let's give them something else, some choice outside of Italy. And so we did. We started, as I said, with Spain, and then we've added Portugal. We don't have very expansionist goals. We're not interested, really, in moving into France or Greece or wherever.
Okay.
But we did want to provide some variety to our loyal clients.
Cinque Terre tours, trails, walking. That sounds just, and I've been there, and I can just picture exactly where you're walking.
Mm-hmm.
So much history. The wines are so big and robust, and that sounds, I mean, how many people sign up for your tours? Is this like 16 to 20 people on a tour?
No, they're smaller. Minimum 2, maximum 14. Now, let's say post-recession, they are often 6 to 8 to 10 people.
Okay.
We do custom tours, too, and in that case, you might have just a couple on a vacation. They want a private tour, or you might have a wine club or something like that, and in which case, they can be as big as they want. But in general, our groups are small. The tour you mentioned is, and I'm not just saying this, it is really my personal favorite, my perennial favorite. I mean, my favorites are always the newest tour, in this case, the Douro Valley, because it is new. But the Piedmont Cinque Terre tour we've done for a long time, and I love it, because Liguria is just so beautiful. It really is so beautiful. Plus, that is our only tour that combines two regions, because Piedmont and Liguria are close enough that you can combine the two. We call it our surf and turf.
Oh, that's
our
good.
Surf and turf tour. Because in Piedmont, you are landlocked. You are in the middle of wine country, so you're dealing with the big red wines, the Barolos, the Barbarescos. You're dealing with woodland cuisine,
mm-hmm.
with guinea fowl and rabbit and boar and
truffles
and mushrooms and, you know, all of that kind of cuisine. Then, an hour and a half south, you're in Liguria. So there you have your seafood and you have your Vermentino. When we go hiking on those trails, I always tell people, remember these smells. Remember, you know, kicking up that dust and the minerality and the sage and the rosemary and what they call the macchia of the Mediterranean, because you will smell these smells in your Vermentino tonight.
Yes.
And it's so true. It's that I love Vermentino wine, and that is because it does put in a bottle all those wonderful smells of the Mediterranean along the Cinque Terre coast. So, yes, I love that tour.
Is the Venice to Amarone in June sold out already, or you still have openings?
No, we still have openings on that one. It's getting full, but it's not sold out.
Okay.
The ones you mentioned, that one is one that we're actually having on sale right now. So we've been getting, you know, some calls about that. We have 3 tours that are $500 off. There's the Veneto to Amarone, the Douro Valley, and the Alps and Dolomites, which is a hiking tour. We have a lot of variety in our clients, and some people look at our hiking tours, which are basically hiking in the morning, and we go to the vineyards in the afternoon, and they go, oh, I cannot imagine enjoying that. And we have the other people who love the hiking tours because they want to get the exercise, and they want to burn those calories, and they want to see the sights that you see on a trail, and they look at the non-hiking tours and they go, oh, I can't imagine just sitting and drinking all that. And then we also have our what we call wine intensive tours, which are our extreme Piedmont and extreme Tuscany. And these are for people who are really, really, really into wine and can't imagine doing anything but going to the wineries. So there are those 3 different types of tours, depending on really what kind of vacation you want.
When you go to the tour for the Douro Valley, mm-hmm. where do you fly into and how do you get up to the Douro Valley? Do you drive or do you take a boat?
No, I mean, it depends where you're coming from. There are nonstop flights from America to Lisbon and from Lisbon to Oporto, which is our meeting place. You can either drive or take a train, or you can fly straight into Oporto if you connect through Europe. Generally, we are land only, so people get to the starting point on their own.
Okay.
Most of our clients are Americans. We do get some folks from England, some folks from Australia or Hong Kong, but mostly it's Americans from all around the country, and a lot of times people will, you know, do something else a few days ahead of our tour or after our tour, and we meet at a certain point. And then once you're with us, it's 24/7 with us for 6 days or 7 days, depending on which tour it is. And there, fully escorted. We make all the arrangements, so all people have to do is kick back and enjoy. We take the pain out of traveling. Many people could theoretically book with the wineries, but many people just are busy and don't
right.
have the time
right.
to do that kind of planning.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily know on the ground, okay, how far is it from this winery to that? How windy are those roads?
Yeah.
A common mistake I find with travelers, even talking to our clients who are traveling before or after, is they want to bite off more than they could chew because they don't understand how long it does take.
And it's exhausting. I mean, once you start tasting wines in the afternoon, it's tiring. And then getting up the next day and doing it again, I mean, it is tiring.
It is. It is. And we spit so you don't have to.
Oh, there you go. Oh, I love that. And we shouldn't forget to mention that I see there is one biking tour.
Yeah.
In Chianti Classico.
Yeah. We have a biking itinerary in Piedmont and in Tuscany. And
okay.
My husband and I met biking actually in Piedmont.
Wow.
And so that was that and wine were our common links when we first met. And when we started this company back in 1999, we actually had several biking tours on the calendar. I think two biking tours in the calendar, two walking tours in the calendar, and then four non-active tours, just wine
okay.
on the calendar. We started out with that. And we discovered over time that the biking didn't sell as well because, and we as bikers know this, that a lot of bikers, when they go abroad, they want to just put their nose to the wheel and that's it. 60 miles, 70 miles a day, then you eat, then you sleep, then
yeah.
you get up and do it again.
Yeah.
Our idea was to have more of a hybrid tour where you bike in the morning, you go to the visits in the afternoon, winery visits in the afternoon, but we realized that that just didn't go. The bikers really want to bike.
Yeah.
So now we do those as custom tours. So if you have a
okay.
bike club, they come with us. What did work, though, were the hiking tours, where, again, we hike for 3 to 4 hours, say in the morning, break for lunch, and then get in a van and go to the winery in the afternoon. So that has proven popular, in part because I think pretty much anybody can walk. Whereas biking really is a skill, you don't want to tackle the hills of Italy without already being a biker. It's not
yes.
the place you start biking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even though the fantasy might exist, it's not something we recommend.
And are you able to accommodate in other in languages other than English? I would imagine, obviously, Italian, but basically the common language for the tours is English, right?
It's English. We have done tours in Spanish. We had some people from Colombia who had relatives here in Florida, and they organized a family trip.
Okay.
My husband's fluent in Spanish and French. The French don't go outside of France
right,
for
right.
their wine. We had, for a number of years, 30 Greek enologists and their wives.
Wow.
Well, actually, it was 30 altogether. 15 Greek enologists and their wives would come every year. And then we had a translator.
But I'm surprised you don't have people from Asia, from Japan or China, and maybe that will happen as well here. Well, Pat Thompson, it's been such a pleasure touching base with you again. Thank you so very much for
Great
sharing
with
us. Great
speaking with you, Lynn. It was my pleasure.
We will have links up for you to learn more about the tour schedule that La Dolce Vita is offering, and their website is dolcetours.com. You're listening to Wine and Dine. iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com.
Hi, this is Claudio from La Dolce Vita Wine Tours. With my wife, I organize gourmet wine tours in Italy, and I hope to host you there. Our website, if you want more information, is dolcetours.com.